This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Mal and Stu here on That Sports Show on Wednesday the 29th of June, the last one for the financial year. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, Malcolm. Thank you again for involving me in That Sports Show. I love it.
And Stu, we've got another big show because guess what? Bing, 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 bing.
How many days?
37 days to Rio.
Can't wait for Rio.
Yes. So there's a lot to talk about pre-Rio, and there's a lot of other sports we're going to talk about tonight, including swimming, hockey, rugby league, soccer or football, as the world calls it, Orlando, cricket, motorsport, and tennis.
But I want to talk about first, if I may, my favourite athlete on the track.
Wait. We haven't said that later in the show we're going to be talking Wimbledon.
Because, oh, yes, the tennis is on.
Yes, it started. And Daniel Whithouse will be on the line tonight to give us his preview of the men's and the women's and of the Aussies in the draw.
Now, he's from Vic Tennis?
Yes, that's right. Good old Daniel.
But I want to talk about Sally.
Yes, please tell me about Sally. Breaking news.
Yes,
it's only
breaking news. Broke
today.
Unfortunate word here because Sally has had a history of hamstring issues and unfortunately she's torn her hammy.
Yeah, in training.
Yes, so it's actually on the other leg to her past persistent problems. So it really is difficult for her at this point and she's actually decided to cut her losses and she will not be going to Rio for Australia.
Well, she won't be race ready in time. You know, she could make the start line but then come last or something.
Yeah, it's really sad for us because she won silver in 2008 in Beijing and gold in London in 2012 and she'd been hoping to complete the rare track and field feat of winning three Olympic medals.
Well, I'd like her to have got a bronze, then she would have had a complete set.
I'd like to have got gold actually, but she was looking tough against those Americans. They'd been running very well.
Well, and also she didn't have as much race fitness, as we call it. You need to race a proper season, not just turn up for a few and see how you go.
Do you think she'll be back for the Commonwealth Games on her home track of the Gold Coast?
I would say yes, and then I think she will retire.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to do that.
It's a real pity for Sally, but good on her.
Also, I think one other girl from the Gold Coast is going to do that. I can't remember who it was.
They've got a lot of athletes now on the Gold Coast.
Well, they've got good facilities, Stuart. Yeah,
but in other Olympic news, one of our young sprinters, Jack Hale, became Australia's fastest junior sprinter of all time in running, I think it was 10.38?
No, 10.21, Stuart.
Oh, that's right. New national record for his age group under 18 with 10.21 in Mannheim, Germany.
That's right.
And he still could qualify for the Games in the Open.
Well, there's one fellow has already qualified, but Josh Clark. Yes, but Jack's actually faster than him, but Josh won the Nationals, and that's the qualifying event. But Jack, we'll be going to the World Juniors in Poland in next month. So he's got some time, and if he does well there, he might actually book a trip to Rio. He's only 18. And
what's the qualifying time if you haven't won the Nationals? Here it is, 10.16.
Yeah, and so he's just off that. Yeah. He did have favourable conditions. That was in a semi or a heat, that 10.21. In the final, he didn't have favourable conditions and ran 10.38. So he could maybe get to 10.16 and get there, but you've got to be very fast, don't you?
You do.
Yeah.
Now, Zika Gate. So there's a number of athletes now who have either pulled out because of the Zika virus that's affecting Rio.
And I want to say this name. Kamar Bailey-Cole from Jamaica. Do you know all the Jamaicans, male or female, generally have hyphenated names?
They do.
Yeah,
yes.
So he has tested positive for Zika, but he's still still going to go to Rio. He's got a rash and he's got sore eyes and things like that, but it's not affecting his ability to compete.
But what's a worry for him, though? Because we've been talking about how Zika has impact on pregnancy. Mm. He's recently become engaged and says he wants to start a family in the near future, so he doesn't want to jeopardise the health of his fiancée because Zika is actually sexually transmitted.
Well, that's right. So no sex for him until he's... over the virus and he's been to Rio and run and possibly won.
Mm. At least three athletes, golfer from Ireland, Rory McIlroy, US cyclist TJ Van Garderen and British long jumper who won gold in London, Greg Rutherford, have dropped out of the games, citing Zika worries.
And also has world number one golfer, our own Australian Jason Day, also dropped out, Stuart. Okay. So,
Well, you're up with your Zika, aren't you?
Well, Adam Scott's also dropped out. So Australia's men's golf ranks won't be as highly credentialed this time in Rio, where golf is making its debut in the Olympics.
Yes.
Re-debut, because it was in about 1904 in St. Louis, I think.
Now,
do you remember that?
I do remember St. Louis, yes. Oh, yes, I was around for that.
You're old. You are older than me. Ha ha.
Yes. Now, in more athletics news...
This one you can talk about.
I can talk about this one because belatedly crowned Olympic champion Jared Talent from the 50K race walk in London could be in line for further retrospective medals after reports Italian Alex Schwarzer, who has twice beaten him to gold in Olympic events, failed another drug test.
Yep.
Now, Schwarzer won in Beijing ahead of second place Talent. He withdrew on the eve of the 2012 games after failing a drug test. He served a ban of, I can't believe the ban's of 3 years and 9 months.
It means that he can go in the next games.
That's right.
I know,
if they enter late, all this sort of stuff. Yeah. But unfortunately, he's returned a positive test from a sample taken on January 1 this year.
Mm.
So the Italian team have been informed about it.
Yep. What are they going to do about it?
Well, I don't think they're going to select him. They've got a very strong team even without him for the team's events.
Really?
Mm, they do. Now, I'm interested also in hockey. So the Hockey Roos, they actually didn't do quite so well in a recent tournament.
No. The Champions Trophy, Stuart, was held in London and Australia lost the gold medal playoff to the US. Now, the US haven't
It was the bronze medal playoff.
Sorry, the bronze medal, you're right. The US haven't been that good in world hockey of late in women's or men's. But the US obviously are climbing. If they've come third, we've come fourth. And then Argentina beat Netherlands 2-1 for the gold. And the other two countries competing in the Six Nation tournament were Great Britain, who beat New Zealand for fifth and sixth. So watch out for the US coming up. But I'd say the gold medal favourites are amongst Argentina, the Netherlands and Australia in Rio in women's hockey. And in men's hockey, of course, you've got Australia, Germany and the Netherlands.
I always tick the women's hockey team, the Hockey Roos, as a definite for a medal. So I'd be disappointed if we don't get one.
Yeah, they need to pull up their socks. And we'll see if Anna Flanagan, you know, we mentioned last week in her drink driving case that she hadn't disclosed. We'll see if she gets to pull on the Guernsey for the country in Rio. Now, Stuart... swimming news. This is actually American swimming news,
Ryan
not Australian.
Lochte.
Yeah, Ryan Lochte, multiple medal winner at the Games.
11-time medalist.
That's right. He won the 400 individual medley in London. He failed to qualify for the US team in that event in their trials in Omaha, Nebraska. He was beaten by, I love these names, Chase Calise and Jay Litherland. So Lochte didn't make it in his pet event. He's now 31 years old, but he might qualify in another event. I haven't heard whether he's made it in any other event yet. So interesting times for the Australian swim team who won't have to go up against him in that event. Thomas Fraser Holmes, people like that.
Yes. Now, what's happening with Michael Phelps? Is he swimming for America in these games?
I haven't heard whether he's made the team or yet. Stuart. So watch this space.
But he's trying to qualify.
He wants to at least maybe go in a relay or something. So that's our Olympic sporting news for tonight. We also have some other news. And now we forgot to mention this last week, State of Origin.
Oh, yes.
Now, I got home after the show, after listening to Chicks Talk and Footy, who are on at 8.30 every
But they don't
Wednesday.
Talk rugby footy.
No, that's right. They talk footy every Wednesday at 8.30 and they're on after us, Fiona Denae and the reserve bench. After listening to that in the car, I got home and the State of Origin was on the telly. And my partner David was watching it, and he only watches it for their bums. And it was a good look, but it was a good game. Queensland, they've won the series, and I think they've won 9 out of the last 10. I don't know how New South Wales are going to come back from that, because Queensland are amazing.
Humiliating.
Yeah, yeah. The Maroons and the Waratahs, or the Blues, what do they call them? Anyway, we've mentioned rugby tonight for our rugby fans out there, rugby league. Now, soccer. The world's one of the world's most famous soccer players is Lionel Messi from Argentina. And the other famous one is, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo from Portugal. Now, we mentioned last week the top 10 money earners, and those two are on the top of the list. Now, Chile played Argentina in the Copa America. It was held for the first time in North America. They expanded the number of teams to 16 because in the South American continent, I don't think there are 16 countries. So they expanded and they include Central and North American countries. And the final of the 100th anniversary Copa America was held in New Jersey in front of a record crowd of 82,000. Oh, no, sorry, it wasn't a record crowd, but a record American crowd for 82,000. And it came down to penalties between Chile and Argentina. And Lionel Messi missed his penalty.
He actually missed the entire thing. He didn't just...
Yeah.
He actually missed the goals.
You saw the vision?
I did.
Yeah, yeah, he missed it. And as a result of that, Chile went on to win the penalty shootout. And Messi said, well, I'm retiring from international soccer now because he felt so humiliated.
Yeah, he was certainly dejected after that.
Yeah.
But good on Chile. I mean, they've actually beaten Argentina...
Twice.
...in the World Cup final 2014 and the 2015 Copa America decider also in penalties.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Now, Stuart... Here's a sad story for us. Of course, we all know what happened in Orlando, but the Tampa Bay Rays, a baseball team playing in the league there, had a game where the proceeds of their tickets and things like that went to the victims and families of Orlando. They had their largest crowd in 10 years of 40,000 people, and they raised $300,000 to go to the victims and families of Orlando. And they were all wearing those rainbow tops. Mm. We are for Orlando. Well, so there is good in this world.
There is some legacy that's actually positive coming out of the terrible events in Orlando.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right. Now, Stuart, moving on to cricket. Now, I know this is your favourite sport, but we haven't really been mentioning that in the past few weeks because a tournament's been on in the West Indies, a tri-nation tournament, Australia and the West Indies and South Africa. Now, Australia actually won the series.
They did.
They played the West Indies in the final and they won by 58 runs. And Matthew Wade made 57 not out in their total of 9 for 270. And Josh Hazlewood skittled the Windies for 5 for 50. And he was also man of the series. So well done to the Aussies winning the one-day international tri-series in the West Indies recently.
Where are we rated now? Are we number one for
Yeah, we are, that? But it's hard to hang on to it.
It is.
So there you go. Now, here's one for you, motorsport.
Oh, yes, yes. This is an amazing a motorbike race.
Yeah, Jack Miller, who's has won the Assen Netherlands MotoGP, and so he's gone from being playing the fool, the jackass, to Jack in Assen. I like that. And he beat world champion Marc Marquez. And our last Australian winner was, of course, Casey Stoner.
Yes.
Some 5 years ago. So Jack Miller could be mixing it with the best of them in the future. Yeah, so
Miller and his team, Estrella Galicia.
I'll pronounce that one again for me, please.
Estrella Galicia.
Sounds like Game of Thrones.
Became the first independent team to claim a MotoGP victory in a decade.
Yes.
But I don't know whether you saw the footage, but there was torrential rain, which forced organisers to stop the race and rerun it as a reduced 12-lap event. So it kind of was a bit reduced.
And that helps.
A bit like a race walking event where people get disqualified, or a Stephen Bradbury on the ice skating where people fall off the track. So a number of people fell, but you've got to be the best on the day, and Jack was.
And also he passed the world champion in the last few laps and then hung on to that lead. So that's not a fluke either. You've got to have skill to do that.
So good on him.
So well done, Jack Miller. Now, briefly in tennis news for the week.
Non-Wimbledon.
Non-Wimbledon. The warm-up tournaments, the traditional ladies tournament is at Eastbourne, and the men's tournament this year is at Nottingham. Next year it's going back to
Eastbourne. What happened to Queens?
Queens is the week before, dear.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Eastbourne was won by Dominika Sibulkova. She won, and she was one of the only seeds remaining. A lot of them went out early, including our Sam Stosur that we mentioned last week. And then in the men's tournament, Steve Johnson won the title in Nottingham for his first ATP title. He beat Pablo Cuevas from Uruguay, one of my favourites. Johnson, of course, knocked out our own John Millman. Now,
your favourite player from Australia.
Yes, my favourite Australian player.
You're on That Sport Show on Joy 94.9.
We've just added a stack of new podcasts to our Joy website. Baby on Board, Michelle, Stephanie and Beck chat to a mum-to-be on Stand Up Straight. Dan and Andy interview the one, the only, the Veronicas on Pop Chops, discussing their new album and celebrity encounters. If you're a big Veronicas fan, you can also hear them speak to Dean and Anna on Murphy's Law. And Pete Dillon goes one-on-one with a range of current and past MasterChef contestants on cravings. Podcasts where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Oh, Daniel, you've gone. We'll have to call you back.
Here's Daniel Whithouse. He's our guest from Vic Tennis, and we're speaking to him about Wimbledon.
Yeah.
But while you're getting him, Malcolm...
Getting
him back online. I just want to talk... there was an amazing event which happened in Wimbledon. A part-time tennis player who gets paid $60 an hour to coach juniors, the elderly, and ladies' doubles groups at a modest club in the British Midlands will on Wednesday play the richest man in tennis on the world's most famous court for a guaranteed cheque of $100,000, which is actually a fantastic outcome. It's been difficult in the British Midlands with the outcome of Brexit this last week, so it's good to hear some good news from there. The 25-year-old Willis had to come through pre-qualifying to reach the main draw and almost retired this year. His name's Marcus Willis, and he's looking forward to a great match on centre court.
Well, he's going to live the dream with Roger Federer.
Yes.
This is his biggest moment in his life. He actually had to play three qualifying matches in a pre-qualifying tournament to actually get into the qualifying, where you then play three more and then you make the draw. Now, Dan, you're on the line?
I certainly am.
Oh, good.
Hello, Daniel.
We thought we lost you, but you're actually there, so that's all good. So, Dan, we were just talking about Marcus Willis, the Brit guy who's going to be playing Roger Federer in the second round on centre court. So we've had a chat about him, but what about the rest of the men's draw? Who do you see that's going to go far into the draw?
Look, I think that the big news is going to be whether, like Roger Federer, after having some time off with injury, is going to come back strong. Mm. He's in the top half of the draw with Djokovic. So if Federer can get through to the semi-finals and Djokovic can get over Milos Raonic, that's going to be one of the most salivating semi-finals for a very long time. And my word is that if they close that roof because of rain, then I reckon Djokovic is in trouble, because Federer is almost unplayable on centre court under the roof. And then in the bottom half of the draw, it's really Murray's to lose. And now that he's back with Ivan Lendl, a lot of people are saying that he might come good, because Lendl created this environment of mental stability, and that's probably Murray's biggest downfall, apart from the fact that Lendl gets him to whack his forehand very, very hard, which is generally successful as well.
Well, that's right. Lendl used to do that. But that you're right. Murray can match it with Djokovic, but if he gets down a break and then is two sets to one down, he kind of collapses, you know? So we'll see how the draw goes through. Now, what about of the Australians? Tell us some of their fortunes.
Sam Stosur?
No, we're talking men, Stuart. Sam is a lady.
Oh, sorry.
Dan, give us...
So far it's been pretty mixed. I think most people probably would have heard of Nick Kyrgios getting over Radonjic Stefanik in four sets. So probably he should have done that in three. He got through in four, but let's just say that him having an extra set under his belt is probably not a bad thing. And look, him cranked up and with his serve and his game, he seems to be moving very well, which is going to be a key to him getting through to the second week.
And Bernard Tomic.
Bernard Tomic is locked in two sets all with Fernando Verdasco, who I think some of the listeners would remember from some big matches in the Australian Open. Now, rain stopped them late in the day.
Yep.
This is the pick. If you can get to your TV sets, watch the last set of this. I reckon Bernard versus Fernando is going to be a ripper of a last test.
And those rain-delayed matches, the first matches on the court tonight, I understand. Now, also, our favourite here at Joy 94.9's That Sports Show is John Millman, and he's got through in five.
He certainly did against the Spaniard. And I think that John Millman certainly likes to crack the ball very, very hard, mm-hmm. But also he knows how to grind. And if anyone knows how to grind, it's the Spaniard,
yes,
Montanes. And but the fact that he got through, hopefully it didn't take too much out of him. I mean, it's on grass, but probably mm-hmm. it's not like it was on clay. But certainly he's looking good against Benoit Paire from France in the second round. Now, Pear has a very big serve and is a very mm-hmm. good grass court player. So, but if John Millman was to get through that, he's got a possible date with Andy Murray if both of them were to keep on winning through.
Right. Now, Stuart, you just have a quick message for us.
I do. A wonderful donation has just been received from Eric in Kew. Thank you very much, Eric. And if anyone else would like to make a donation, they can through our website, joy.org.au. Thank you for the $50.
Stuart. Thank you, Stuart. And also Sam Groth, he went out, and Jordan Thompson also went out. But then we also had Luke Seville as a qualifier went out. And who was the other qualifier? Matthew Barden. He's still on court, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, so we'll wait and see. But certainly there were quite a few Aussies that went down. And look, probably honourably. I mean, I think for Sam Groth to go down to Nishikori in three sets, I mean, I think he's played Murray and Nadal on his last two Grand Slams.
Yes,
so
yes.
If he can play someone who's not in the top kind of couple of players in the world, he might be able to get himself into a tournament because he certainly can whack that serve, which is something on grass. And I guess the other thing about Jordan Thompson, playing in his straight set loss is that probably grass isn't his best surface because he doesn't yet have a weapon, and if he's going to step up into the major leagues, he's going to have to develop one of those. But admirable to go down to another Spaniard.
That's right. My weapon is my tenacity, like Arantxa Sanchez. I don't have a weapon, but I can run all day.
Like your Wendy Turnbull.
Yeah, well, Stuart thinks he's Wendy Turnbull. Now, sticking on the Aussies, we'll just skip over to the women now. Sam Stosur and Daria
Gavrilova. Sam's 14th Wimbledon campaign.
Yeah, Sam Stosur and Daria Gavrilova. Dan, quick word on both of them, please.
Yeah, look, Stosur was good to get through in the first set against a young Polish lass. She's got a tough one in the second round tonight with Sabine Lisicki. Now, if Sabine Lisicki is on, she's almost unplayable on grass. However, she's like some other players, like Murray, it's all in the head.
That's so right. Lisicki, she plays any other tournament and she loses first round. She gets to Wimbledon and she's quarters or better.
So I reckon this will be an interesting one to watch. I think Stosur's at the moment, she's fitter than she has been, and she's running down a lot of balls. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the top players will say about Stosur is just keep getting balls back to her, and eventually she'll miss. whereas you know, with Lisicki, she ain't playing to keep it in play. She's going for it.
Yeah,
so
she
that
is.
Might play into Stosur's favour.
Now, Daria Gavrilova won her first round against Qing Yang from China. Now, who's she playing in the second round?
Gavrilova's going to be playing Chabukova, who you announced before as the winner of Eastbourne.
That's
now,
right.
Chabukova will leave. She'll die on court before she gives up a point. So,
that's true.
And then if Gavrilova could have it, like Gavrilova, I think, is a lot like Stosur. If you don't expect her to win,
she'll win.
She usually brings out her best game. But if either of those, whoever wins, actually would go on to play Bouchard.
Oh, okay.
And that might
that's
be,
winnable.
That might be that's winnable, especially at the moment as well.
Yeah. Now, Sibulkova and Gavrilova, that's the battle of the shorties. I think I'm taller than those two. Now, what about the rest of the women's draw? The favourites there. Give us a quick word on that.
Well, look. Serena's in the top half, and really, you wouldn't expect her not to get through the final. She has an interesting fourth round with Sloane Stephens, who beat her here in the Australian Opens in the semis a few years back.
Yes.
She's also got, potentially in the quarterfinals, Roberta Vinci, who beat her in the US Open.
I don't see Vinci going all the way. Serena's first match, I watched that, she played a qualifier who had never even played a Grand Slam match, Amra Sedikovic from Switzerland, and she gave Serena a mixed bag. And Serena doesn't like that. She prefers them just to bash it back at her. And so she was in all sorts of little troubles here and there. But what about Garbine Muguruza, the number two seed? Where do you see her getting to?
I don't see her probably losing before the semi-finals. So she's got an interesting potential second round with Lucy Safarova, and we know that Lucy can smack the ball.
Yes.
Then she'd possibly have a Venus quarterfinal. But interesting, I'd expect her to get through to a semi against Kerber, Angelique Kerber, who won the Australian Open, as your listeners will know. And I would probably think that Kerber would be in with a pretty good shot to give Muguruza a bit of a run for her money.
And what about the number three seed, Agnieszka Radwańska, who's my favourite?
She's one of my favourites. And look, if you've got a sentimental kind of favourite for me, it's her. I don't think that she's been doing too well in terms of... She's had a stop-start kind of 12 months or so with injury. I think that she's dangerous if she's got more matches under her belt.
Yep.
But on grass, I think she also has the ability to use some of her, I guess, her movement, her smarts, and some of her creativity. So, I'll be hoping that she can get through to a semi against Serena.
All right, now in 10 words or less for the men, who's your dark horse?
The dark horse would be Dominic Thiem from Austria.
Yes, youngest man in the top 10. And who's your dark horse in the women?
I would go for, I reckon Aga.
Radwańska. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Dan, for joining us tonight. We'll have Dimitra Giannakopoulos from the Ace Girls giving us the halfway report next week on That Sports Show. So we'll talk to you again soon, Dan.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. Now, Stuart, it's been a busy show with our athletics and Olympic sport talk.
37 days to Rio.
That's right. Hockey, roos, swimming, soccer. Of course, state of origin rugby, we threw that in.
Zika gate.
Cricket, motorsport, and, of course, tennis. So it will be our first show of the new financial year next week on That Sports Show.
Does anyone
show.
Care about that?
Everyone does on Joy 94.9.
That Sports Show.
That Sports Show.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.